not deserve, all the while maneuvering them into giving her the job she wanted and which they held in their gift. They had no wit, but they had the power to decide. They had no grace of spirit, but they could say yes or no. They had little understanding of her qualifications and badly disguised contempt for her learning, but she had needed them to choose her. And they had, both of them, and not any of the other applicants she had thought of, not without a wry consciousness of how much her language had been affected by the historical period in which she had spent the last 10 years of her academic and professional life, as her rivals. As the youngest of 5 sisters, Katharina was endowed with a healthy sense of rivalry. Not unlike characters in a Goldoni play, the sisters were Claudia the beautiful, Clara the happy, Christina the religious, Cinzia the athletic, and last born, Katharina the clever. Claudia and Clara had married fresh out of school. Claudia had divorced within a year and upgraded to a lawyer she seemed not to like very much, while Clara stuck to her first husband and was happy. Christina had taken vows and renounced the world, then gone on to take advanced degrees in the history of theology. Cinzia had won some medals in diving at the national level, but then had married, born 2 children, and grown fat. Katharina, the clever one, had studied at the liceo where her father taught history and had consistently won the yearly prize in Latin and Greek translation while picking up Russian from her aunt. From there, she had gone to an ignominious year as a vocal student at the conservatory, then 2 years studying law at Padova, which disappointed and then bored her. The lore of music returned then, and she had chosen to study musicology in Florence and then in Vienna, where her thesis advisor, learning of her fluency in Russian, had arranged a 2-year research grant for her to accompany him to St. Petersburg to help with his research on Paisiello's Russian operas. That concluded, she returned to Vienna and finished a doctorate in Baroque opera, the degree and her possession of it sources of delight and pride to her family. This qualification, after only 1 year of trying to find a job, had earned her a sort of internal exile to the South in the form of a position as lecturer in counterpoint at the Conservatory of Music Egidio Romualdo Duni in Matera. Egidio Romualdo Duni. What scholar of Baroque opera would not recognize his name? Katharina had always thought of him as Duni, who also wrote. The man who had written operas with titles identical to those of more famous or more gifted composers. Bajazet, Catone in Utica, Adriano in Syria. Duni had left as little trace in Katharina's memory as he had on current opera production. A doctorate from the University of Vienna, and then a job lecturing first-year conservatory students in counterpoint. Duni. There were entire weeks when she thought she might as well have been lecturing in mathematics. So far did this subject seem from the magic thrill of the singing voice. This dissatisfaction did not bode well, something she had known almost as soon as she arrived. But it had taken her 2 years to decide to leave Italy again, this time by accepting a position at Manchester, one of the best centers in Europe for the study of Baroque music, where she had spent 4 years as a research fellow and assistant professor. Manchester had appalled Katharina by its physical ugliness, but she had been content enough at the university, digging into the music, and to a lesser degree, the lives of a handful of 18th-century Italian musicians whose careers had prospered in Germany. Veracini, Handel's great rival, Porpora, Farinelli's teacher, the practically forgotten Sartorio, Lotti, a Venetian who, it appeared, had been everyone's teacher. It was not long before she began to see the similarity between their destiny and her own. In search of the work and fame they had failed to find in Italy, they had immigrated north. Like some of them, she had found work. And like most of them, she had suffered homesickness and longed for the air, beauty, and possibility of joy offered by a country that she realized only now she loved.